The Bible reading for the sermon is that which was read, but includes the whole context of the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have kept us in life and faith to this hour. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit will be with us to help us to understand the meaning of your word for our lives and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Faith and grace and joy and love and hope and all of the fruits of righteousness and of the Spirit abound with us. Amen. I just received a joyous telephone call 10 minutes ago, a long distance call. A former student is calling and he says, "Dr. Ziegler, this will make you glad. You know, we're going to start a mission in our inner city here, and we're thinking about renting an auditorium or a funeral parlor or so on." I says, "Look, Pastor," I says, "I have to go to chapel." Well, he says, "Don't tell anybody about it." "No," I says, "I won't tell anybody about it. Nobody in that chapel service will in any way put obstacles between you and your congregations starting that mission in the inner city." Because Jesus says in our text today that we should be witnesses and that we should be fruitful. And furthermore, the basis for that witnessing, the motivation for it, is in the Spirit, the living Spirit of God. And he testifies, and he is telling us in the early part of the chapter, you know, in the image of the fruitful life, you are to be like the vine and the branches. That's the best, beautiful communication of the gospel that Jesus gives us. And it is also congruent with the best metaphysics of our time, which describes in a philosophy of science all of our living reality, it says, is like an organismic life process. And so God says through the text today, to be witnesses and to have a fruitful life, you are to cling to the vine. The vine and the branches have to be one. Abide in me and I in you. And so that life energy can flow through the vine and come out through us, the branches. He is one with us. He's present with us in the sacraments. He speaks in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel here of that word which has been with you. I can trust in you to be witnesses because the word has been with you. And that's our motivation. And he tells us what we can do and what will happen. How we can cling to the vine and the branches can be one. As the human being reaches out, we're to ask and seek and knock and pray without ceasing. As all of God's children cry out to him in their needs, like even in the story of creation, Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel has God reaching down to touch man. And so, now even in the last issues of the Wall Street Journal, we read about the woman who is in this hatred and the persecution and the evil of this world in some way is locked into the drug addiction in Miami, and it says the thugs are marching with loaded guns among these houses of prostitution. And these people have imprisoned themselves in addiction, in the evil self-destruction of the world. And she's caught them. She has sold her little baby to buy drugs. And in the trial, in the hearing, she says, "I want God to come into my life." And so God wants to come into our lives. He sees us reaching out, not only in the destitution of people such as this drug addict in prostitution, but also among the educated, those who have found themselves separated from the vine in the busyness of their lives, like this medical doctor who writes a chapter in a book entitled, "Your Prayers Are Always Answered." As a young boy, he was reared in a Christian home in Saskatchewan, and then goes away to college and to graduate school, medical school, becomes a specialist in surgery, has his own jet, his office in New York, flies all over the world to perform specialized surgery, and then one busy day, he has a personal call to his office. He says, "Who is, oh, this is your brother calling from Saskatchewan. Come home right away. Our mother is dying." "What happened?" "Well, she was feeding the cows, and the cow swung her head, and the horn went through her side into her lungs. Come home right away." Doctor loads his jet and goes with his fellow surgeons to fly to his home. Comes into the kitchen where he sees his brother's head buried in his folded hands, praying to God. The surgeon goes to the bedroom to his mother's side, sees that she needs emergency surgery to save her life, has the instruments brought, and just before he is to operate, the stress and the fatigue of the whole thing causes his hands to shake, and he knows that in no way can he perform this delicate surgery in this state. He leaves the bedroom, goes out into the apple orchard, falls to his knees in prayer, and God hears him. And in that great emergency need to be creative and fruitful in that surgery at this time, a composure comes into his life. And he gets a hold of himself and he goes back to his mother's side and performs the necessary surgery to save her life. He writes the chapter, "I wrap them, God heals them." And so we are to reach out in prayer. "Whatever you ask in my name," Jesus said, "the Father will give you." And so in that way, in worship, in family devotions, in study in the Word, in prayer, the branches cling to the vine for composure, for life, sustenance. Furthermore, there's to be a pruning for the fruitful life. Those who are going in the ways of self-destruction, well, we could say in the tomato vine, you know, we used to do this in gardening back in the parish in Illinois in the garden. We were told that if there is a sucker, it was called, growing out in the vine, you know, that produces nothing but foliage, no fruit, pluck it out. And so there is a pruning. Jesus says a cleansing. People pull themselves out by their self-destructive tendencies or the mutually destructive tendencies, such as I described in the Wall Street Journal feature article about crime and prostitution and selling of children in Miami. Cleanse this out in the pruning process so that the next stage in the vine and the branches to be productive is and fruitful is to blossom. And he mentions two things there. Beautiful picture. That my joy may be fulfilled with plenitude in your life. The coming of Jesus, joy to the world. The beauty of this day, of nature, of life, of the trees. Like the beauty of all the seasons of life. Those beautiful flowers here on the campus. For those of you who are visitors to our Congress, walk around the edge of the campus to see those beautiful trees. The beauty of life, joy to the world, even a more beautiful thing in the coming of the Savior. The beauty of fellowship, of those who are gathered together to worship and to praise God and to pray to Him. And furthermore, he says, love one another. That's a blossoming and a blooming. Love one another. As the fathers love me and so I love you, so you should love one another. And then he interjects in these verses that were read, the reality factor of evil, of self-destruction, of the world hating and of persecuting. But that love is necessary, not only for our eschatological eternal salvation, but for civilization. Scientists made a documentary film, which was shown on public television, about a remote tribe in a jungle, and it described them with no concept of what we have here, a worldview to be fruitful and loving, merely describing their situation of need. They were hating one another. And then it would show close-up pictures of the children smashing each other, parents hating children, children hating parents, men and women hating each other. And then it concluded and said, this tribe has been decreasing in its self-genocide, and it will become extinct. Those are the options. Extinction, genocide. Jesus says here, to be fruitful, love one another. And finally, be fruitful in the sense of witnessing. The imperative is here, you should witness. I have been with you from the beginning. And people express this in the language of witnessing. They say, Jesus is with us. I had this dream recently. You know where the dreams come from? Maybe it was the fact that I had to witness to a close relative who was dying this year. Anyway, here I have a pastor's distant relative, descendant, who once taught me the way to salvation in Jesus. And now I am witnessing to this person, and he is facing very serious illness, and I want to be sure that he has that faith relationship to God, that he's clinging to the vine that can take him to his destiny in heaven. And I ask him about it, and he says, yes, Jesus is with me. I am talking with him. I've been talking with him, and he talks with me, and he is with me. And that's what Jesus says in this verse, this last verse. I have been with you from the beginning. The vine and the branches of witnessing reaches out through all space to all people, says one of our students who is starting a mission among gypsies, said to me this past week, I read the story of the Great Commission, and these gypsies heard this like for the first time and said, now we've had 24 came together for Bible study, 29, 35, or 40. Now they said, you know, this gospel is not only for us, it's for all people. We should be inviting other people to our Bible study. And so the vine and branches reaches to all people, but also through all time. It goes back to that primordial garden of the vine and the branches and of life. It goes through to the future, when in the last book of the Bible, it talks about the crystal river, the tree of life, which will bear its fruit in its seasons. It will be fruitful forever. And the point is now that we are witnesses. As a thief on the cross asked Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingly power. And Jesus hooks him into the vine of everlasting life and of fruitful creativity forever. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen.